17-year-old kid, and then shot two men who took offense with the fact that he was carrying around that rifle. A third man who pointed a weapon at him but didn't in any way fire it, and himself was shot but survived. Compare that to the self-defense claim in this case, in which the McMichael family and they're also similar to me. I'm sorry for saying that. But the McMichaels and we'll just call him Roddy for now until I figure out who he is. So here is William Roddy Bryan. Sorry about that. Travis McMichael, Gregory McMichael, and William Roddy Bryan, right, are the three people who were charged. Bryan was the one who was driving a pickup truck and somehow was able to squeeze after a five-minute chase Aubrey between his truck and the McMichaels' truck, at which point Travis McMichael exited with a shotgun. And we don't see the actual shooting, although the results were there for the jury to see, of him shooting him with a shotgun at close range, although the man was unarmed. He tried to claim some sort of self-defense based on what he – it was the weirdest thing. I mean, you might have heard it, and I played it on the news. He claimed that he wanted him to, or he believed he wanted him to grab his rifle, and therefore that was somehow justification for shooting him. Is this a reflection of gun culture in America or something deeper? This is racism. Was this a lynch mob or a gun nut who was out of control? Or is there really a difference between the two things? That seemed to be one of the issues. Now, in the Georgia case, there was an interesting third issue, which I thought, which we touched on in a story the other day, which I thought was very interesting, which is the revoked or changed or modified 1863. That's the middle of the Civil War statute that allowed for citizens' arrest in Georgia. And as we heard from Hofstra history professor, former New York City High School history professor, teacher, Alan Singer, that this law had been put in place because of a shortage of manpower during the Civil War. So many of the Home Guard, the Home Protection Soldiers of Georgia, had been sent to the defense of Richmond from the Union Army, that there was a shortage of agents to arrest and stop slaves from escaping and joining the Union Army in many cases, and that therefore they passed this law in 1868, codified this law. It had been a common law. That means it had been just out there. It wasn't really in any book of laws, but everybody had followed by it for years, allowing a person to be arrested by a citizen entirely about white people arresting black people who and stopping them on the roads and demanding ID, and those folks having to show their ID. We have three callers online. Your reaction to this case and putting into the context of the cases we've seen this week. Welcome to WBAI. You're on the line.
Yes. Greetings. Is that me?
Yes, you're on.
Yes. Greetings to the beloved community. HUNA Healing, HUNA, mostly free because it's only a book or two. This is very important, Paul, that you're having this discussion. We need to have more of these discussions. And we also need to see how all of this started, okay? And when you had a population that cared nothing about the lie that all Mexicans were criminals, and that's how symbolically it started out, with people being paid $50 to be the audience, and only as per President, former President Vicente Fox said, the only asshole we need to be concerned about is the mouth of Donald Trump. So, and the Republicans falling in line, we need to see the thread, if you will, the rope of people daring to the lynching, whether it's the lynchings in Louisiana rurally with the police, which you don't hear much about, and just the whole attitude and support and white supremacist badges and all that
nonsense. Okay. Thank you. We're going to move on and give everybody else a chance, but thank you for that comment. Really appreciate it. Next, you're on the line.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on. Go ahead. Question or comment.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man? I live here in Somerset, New Jersey. I consider it all part of New Brunswick. And my wife picked me up at the train station, and she says the verdict came out, and butterflies just went up my stomach. She says they found them guilty, and that's when I exhaled. Because I thought, and maybe my way of thinking wasn't correct, that jury was chosen from the defendant's area in Georgia.
In Brunswick.
And I thought that, yeah, and I thought that, hey, these guys will get away with it. You know, they were come up with some shaky crap of I was defending myself, and they would get away with it. And I was shocked. And as a black man, you know, sometimes we get justice.
Is the South advancing faster than the North?
Wait a minute. Say this again.
Is the South advancing, becoming more civilized more quickly than northern suburbs?
I was born down south, and I had to go south. My mother told me how to act. I don't know. I mean, I really can't. I'd have to marinate on that a bit.
Right. The reason I say that is that you saw the decision that happened that allowed Kyle Rittenhouse to walk free despite two men being killed, a third critically wounded, because he decided to take a walk through a anti-racism protest with a machine gun and shoot people who got in his way. And then you have this case in Georgia, the heart of Georgia, the heart of the Confederacy, where a jury seemed to have no problem putting all three away for 95% of the charges.
Paul, I don't think Kyle's going to get away, okay, because two of the people he shot were Jewish. And I think that the Jewish community is going to put pressure on the politicians in that area that you want our vote, you got to serve justice for the killing of those guys.
Well, I'm going to marinate on that one for a while. Thanks a lot for your comment, and we'll take the next call. You're on the air. You're listening to WBAI in New York. I'm Paul D'Arienzo. The extended news, our number, 212-209-2877. The subject, the Ahmaud Arbery, conviction of three men of capital and felony murder in the killing of Ahmaud Arbery. And you're on the air.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your good question. I just want to quote from Democracy Now! Yesterday about Joseph Rosenbaum was unarmed when he was shot by Rittenhouse, shot four times, first in the groin, then in the hand and thigh as he faced Rittenhouse, and then was shot in the head and in the back. It seems to me there's an enormous hole in the prosecution not having made the case that self-defense requires one cease to defend oneself when the attack has been prevented.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case,
I have to jump in there because I understand, but I really listened carefully, and definitely the prosecutor seemed to be a little bit over his head. But at the same time, especially in his summation, he made a good case in his summation, and it was a similarly good summation to the one we heard from the prosecutor in the Aubrey case. I have to say that this has something to do with the attitudes in suburban Midwestern areas compared to suburban, even rural Georgia areas. There's a difference in the – I think that maybe the people in Georgia understood it better.
And there's the attitude of the judge, which can't be denied, mm-hmm. to have prejudiced, yeah. the trial.
Yes. Very good. Thank you very much for your comments. And we're going to move on to the next call. Many people calling in at 212-209-2877. I'm Paul D'Arienzo. This is the extended WBAI News, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, or WBAI.org, where it streams to the whole world. And you are on the line.
First of all, I'd like to thank the engineer for allowing the call to go through. In regards to your question, I don't think that the South is more in tune with, shall we say, democracy and equality. What I think that we all should consider are basically the actions in the past, the actions at the present time. Now, going back to when the Capitol was stormed, you had a great number of people there. And you cannot ignore the fact that Trump had, what is it, 70, what is, was it, 70 million
votes. He lost by 7 million, but he got 40. He's solidly got the support of 40% of voting America, without a doubt.
Right. Now, consider this. The situation, scenario in which the son, father, and the neighbor shot and killed our brother, that was bad planning. Okay? As far as the young man, 17, Rittenhouse, her Kyle Rittenhouse, the bottom line is this. He's 17 years old, which represents, or 18 at present time. He represents the future of what they are trying to achieve. So at no ends are they going to allow him to be, quote, I'd hate to say this word, but say crucified. He has to be set as a good example. He's had offers of jobs. He has been had the opportunity to meet with the former president of this country. Okay? That places him in a different league. So you see, what the country is actually, or shall I say, some people are actually trying to achieve, they have to consider, well, we'll let this one go and we'll hold steadfast on this one. Why?
A dark accounting here, right? An accounting, the devil's accountant. I'll coin a term. They're accounting for this.
So I'm just saying to our beloved family listeners, let us consider all areas. Let us consider the past, the present, and the future. Because as one of your callers stated on so many times, fascism is here. It didn't come here overnight, and we should not be surprised at the games that go on. So the question is, not are you surprised, not are you happy. The question I pose is this. Where do we go from here based on what has happened in the past and the present?
All right. Thank you very much for that. And I think that's a good question to throw out to the cabal, the audience out there who are listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM on the FM radio dial, and WBAI.org, where we stream to the entire world. And our number, 212-209-2877. And there's a third case I wanted to bring up. We've been talking about the Rittenhouse case and, of course, today's conviction of the three men in the Arbery killing. But there's also the civil suit that was decided yesterday in Charlottesville, Virginia, where $25 million was made an award of $25 million to victims of the Unite the Right rally, in which thousands of neo-Nazis and fascists marched with tiki torches through downtown Charlottesville, claiming all kinds of people would never replace them. And some of their leaders turned out to be quite vicious racists and fascists and Hitler aficionados and fans and readers of Mein Kampf and the like, as they all admitted under oath or in documents and tapes that were played before the jury that led to the win. It's not quite a conviction in civil court, but led to the win and to what it stands right now. We'll see if it stands, a major $26 million judgment on their behalf. And if you were listening to the news yesterday, we had Susan Breaux, whose daughter, Heather Heyer, was murdered when a man by the name of Fields drove his car into a crowd of peaceful protesters, injuring 19, killing Heather Heyer. And he was later convicted and sentenced to life in prison for murder. Again, you're listening to WBAI New York. What are these three trials mean? What do these three verdicts mean for the country going forward? Our number 212-209-2877, and you're on the line.
Hello, am I on?
You're on. Go ahead. Question or comment?
Let's remember that it took a whole lot to get the Arbery case to trial, right? I mean, there was a fix, right? And then it was sort of discovered. It's also interesting that we talk about the Arbery case, and then but the other one we talk about the Rittenhouse case. So you know, it's like, so why, you know, like, why is that? All right.
Well, they use similar arguments of self-defense.
The other thing, though, is the whole fascism thing. I think we really need to sort of really think ahead. Right. And, you know, because Hitler's been dead for 75 years, Mussolini, too. Right. And we need to really think about what we're really dealing with in case of what the capabilities and potentialities that the U.S. has at hand, the U.S. government has at hand, and, you know, what they had at hand. OK. Mm-hmm. The last thing I want to say. All right. Is this. I have a question. How is the U.S. legal system like a Las Vegas casino?
Well, it sort of reminds me of Casablanca when they, if you remember the movie Casablanca and Rick's Cafe Americana, and they have the roulette wheel.
The answer is,
I'm shocked. There's gambling going on here.
Yeah,
you're winning,
not
sir.
Really it, though. Yeah. Claude Rains, right?
But right, Gracie. Really, to me, that's one of the philosophical.
But the answer is, no matter what happens, the house always wins.
Ask Rick.
You notice everybody's talking about crowing about the American legal system and justice has been done, and it's like, come on, guys, the justice system cannot bring black men back from the dead. It can't bring black women back from the dead.
I found it interesting that the president alluded to that in his statement. President Biden actually alluded to that, strangely enough. I was surprised by that in his statement, where he said the working of the justice system just isn't enough. I think, let me see where he exactly said was looking at it up here. Sorry for this delay. President Joe Biden said Ahmaud Arbery's murder is a devastating reminder of how far we have to go in the fight for racial justice in this country. He said Arbery should be here today celebrating the holidays with his family. He added that while the guilty verdicts reflect our justice system doing its job, that alone is not enough. I found that an interesting comment by the President of the United States. Thank you very much for your comment. We have a couple of people online, so we're going to go to the next call, and you're on the line. Question or comment?
Hello?
Yes, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi, great. I've been living in Brooklyn for 20 years, but I'm from Michigan. And, you know, we also can't forget that what they did to the governor there. But I have to agree with you that the North, well, I don't know if that was your...
that the what? I don't know if it was me. Say again.
You said, is the North backsliding...
Oh, yeah, the North.
Yeah, and I have to say they've been in the same place. The rural North and their Fox News, the only channel they see in all the hotels everywhere, is they don't live with people that are not like themselves. And they've been arming themselves since Obama was president and coming up with some, like, fear that they're going to have to defend themselves, and that's a growing thing. First of all, that's sick. But second of all, that boy, Rittenhouse, had no right to have that gun out there doing that. And the gun laws for young people on 18 and under, they shouldn't be able to go across state lines. They should only be able to use it for target practice. They should only be able to, you know, shoot one of the too many deer that are up there.
Right.
Because they kill all the wolves. They should have let the wolves run wild. I don't know why they don't reinstate wolves in northern Michigan and let them take care of the deer population.
Yeah, they should, right. No.
That would do it. If they had wolves. I used to live in Wisconsin. I'm familiar. Beautiful. Yeah. I mean, wolf country. Why do they kill off all the wolves?
I don't know.
Or a few cows. I mean, who cares? They got plenty of cows. Cows are everywhere.
And I'm sorry, a 17-year-old doesn't need to drive to another state to defend himself.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't
ridiculous.
Need to own it. He's not supposed to be owning. I couldn't understand why they removed that charge from the list of charges,
idiot.
Underage possession of a weapon, and why they didn't go after the stepfather of his best friend and his best friend for helping him go around the laws.
Yes, and they set it up, and his parents, shame on them, too.
Everybody,
and also,
everybody who touched that is a great shame on their conscience if they ever had the humanity to actually feel it.
And these kids, the guns are not locked up. They're not, they're hanging out by a door waiting for a person with long, dirty toenails to come and scare them so they can, defend their house.
Thank you. It's sad. I'm sorry to be laughing at such a tragedy, but it is. There's a certain comedy to it. Thank you very much for your time. And for telling us and talking to us and telling us about life in the upper Midwest, which is a place where people should really get more experience with people other than themselves and their own group. It's really sad that people do not have the opportunity for diversity like we have here in New York City, wonderful New York City. And if there's somebody else on the line, you're on right now.
Yeah. Hi there. Listen, I just think that we're wasting a lot of money putting these people in jail. I think there must be some front where they can be conscripted into the military and go supposedly defend our country. But more importantly, I think that this is an opportunity for our listeners to do the economic boycott thing based on this, as well as the gerrymandering, which is going to come up to mess up the next election. If you don't buy the sausages, the beer, the dairy products of a state, you know that somebody's going to get rid of that judge. And this is true all over the country. There are many different things going on in North Carolina, in Georgia. Georgia doesn't get a pass now. It should be understood that American people, if you got to go south, you take the auto train. You don't even fly down there. You just take the auto train and you're there in Florida the next day. There are ways to help promote sanity in this country by economic boycott. It worked on the tuna fish. It'll work on our miscreants that run the show.
You won't see a summer sausage or a bratwurst in my house for a while now.
Well,
if you ever did, you never were going to see it anyway.
How about
those we'll see it now. That's for sure. Thank you.
And cherries.
What's that?
Thank you. The beer and the cherries.
They have cherries in Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. Up in Michigan and the whole area, they do all kinds of fruit up there.
Yeah, I didn't know they had cherries. I thought that was Washington State.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
no,
I'll make sure
I only get
Washington State cherries.
Well, if we can hit them in the pocketbook, this stuff will stop.
I actually do judge a lot of my shopping by these type of things. I do that naturally, and I don't even need a boycott. When I go into the store and I think about what states are got me really mad, I really avoid the products that come from those places.
And then the other thing is, why is Chris Kobach still walking around? He just expunged everybody out of the voter rolls. And now
we'll have to do a story about that later on. That's an interesting story, and I have some contacts in the voting world down there in Georgia. We'll have them on as the election gets closer. Thank you very much, caller. And we're going to move on. We have many calls waiting, 212-209-2877. Last couple of minutes, you're on the radio.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Sandra. I'm calling from Manhattan. Regarding the Kyle Rittenhouse case, I really believe that they really should have gone after the police officers who allowed him to walk through that area with that assault rifle. I mean, they didn't do anything to stop him. And
they helped him.
Yes, it was preventable.
They helped him. They gave him water. They directed him. They gave him protection. It came out a lot in the time before the trial, yet none of that was talked about in the trial.
They were depredized.
ridiculous.
They were what? I'm sorry, caller. The engineer just jumped in, and he probably had something to add. What was that? They were what?
They were deputized.
It was ridiculous.
They deputized those people who came in with the guns. That's interesting. I didn't realize that. Sorry about that, caller. Go ahead.
It's outrageous, and they should have stopped him. I mean, that's what they were there for. But obviously, they had another agenda. They had another agenda, and it didn't have anything to do with protecting those people who were protesting. So that's my comment. I thank you very much.
Yeah, that's an excellent comment. And we have – let's fit in one more call. Let's see if we can squeeze in one more. You're on the air.
Yeah, but the whole thing with the Rittenhouse case, I mean, didn't they sort of go after him? I mean, you can't point a gun at someone, right?
Oh, yeah, but did you watch that closely? He was seen walking through the crowd with a gun strapped around him, and as it attracted attention, people came around him and started to confront him, and his reaction to being confronted was to shoot the people. The third person, after he shot the people, the third person, who is still alive, came up to him with his 9mm automatic and did not fire it, even though he had a chance to do that. And when they asked him, why didn't you shoot the guy when you had the opportunity, he said, ultimately, even though I had a gun, I'm not that kind of person.
A second. Hold on a second. If you see someone walking around with a rifle, leave them alone. Okay?
They were in the middle of a protest, though, a nonviolent protest. They were marching through the middle of that protest, and you can't control every person. A lot of people get angry. Sometimes people go to a protest, especially up there in Wisconsin, it wouldn't be unusual to have a couple of beers and then go down to the protest.
And Paul, let me just add to what you were just saying, is that what people fail to understand during the Rittenhouse case was that, again, as you have said, he was an underage individual that was carrying an illegal arm across state lines in order to somehow support property for what? He's not even a native of Kenosha. That's what has failed to be understood. And he murdered people.
Why is it that, let me ask this, Reggie and the caller, and we have to end with this, but how is it that Americans feel it's just so natural and normal for people to walk around with rifles, pistols, shotguns on their belt and their arms through the middle of demonstrations, through downtown of any town they want to? Why do people, and I read, nowhere in the world do I ever go that's not a war zone, that people just like are nonchalant about that and say, oh, he has the right.
Say something, please. Can I please say
it? Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. First of all, we know guns don't grow out of the ground. Second of all, who checked his age? Right? I'm saying that in terms of just common sense, if you see someone walking around with a gun, you do not attack unless you are similarly armed.
Thank you. Next time, I would also say to the person who Gage, who was terribly wounded but survived, he might have saved some lives.
And also, let us not forget that Kyle Rittenhouse was antagonizing people as well, too. To say that somehow he was a peaceful person carrying a deadly weapon, it is so ridiculous. I can't believe this.
Why? How is this narrative getting out there that somehow he had some right to go sashaying through a protest with a rifle?
I mean, no wonder this country is such in a state of mental illness.
It never used to be like this. As bad as it was, I never remember it being approved for people to go wandering around with machine guns it is today.
I'm sorry to break in on this, Paul.
No, you got a point.
I just found this so ridiculous, this argument. I just found this so ridiculous that I had to chime in as being a person of color, as being a black man in this country, to hear some nonsense straight up. I'm calling you out, caller. Nonsense. That's it.
Well, we are too easy with these guns, and I'm in favor of as any person in this country with a person's right to self-defense and even the Second Amendment, but it's another thing to go in the middle of a protest to shoot people on the other side and call it self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're going to leave it at that. We can solve all the problems of the world here on the air at WBAI, and maybe one day we will. I'm Paul DiRienzo. This has been the WBAI News. Our engineer, Reggie Johnson, and all you great callers out there who keep us on our toes with your great questions and comments. Thanks so much for joining us, and I will see you the day after tomorrow. So enjoy your Thanksgiving, whatever it is, if it's a vegan or a vegetarian or just a traditional meat eating, turkey eating day. Enjoy it. Have fun. Love your families. And we'll see you on the other side.